Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high. Can you hit 'em low, hit 'em low, hit 'em low?
Going right to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take up, earth shaker, 3-point gun in this. Get off the lane, I'm coming through. And if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step. I'm closing in on your position and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough, your whole squad better duck. It's like Swiss when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rago. Tell me who wanna tangle with the ghetto witch doctor, neighborhood superhero.
We want it all, unstoppable, we run the floor.
It's only 3 seconds to score to win the game. Came to bring the ultimate pain up on the brain, untamed. You won't like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. As free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up out my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk.
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. When clicks get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the rep get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, top of flavor, fluid, so clean.
Blowing it all.
What's happening? Welcome to another installation of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Tonight we are on air for a 60-minute podcast special. We're going to preview the 2014 NFL Draft, which begins in less than an hour on ESPN, as well as the NFL Network. For those of you who are not really into the NFL Draft, you can check out the NBA playoffs, which is currently in session right now. Game 2 between the Brooklyn Nets and the Miami Heat is on ESPN2. And later tonight is game two between the Trailblazers and Spurs for game two, which will be the second of the doubleheader. So for all you non-football fans out there, or if you're just not really interested in the draft itself, you really don't care, or you're just not really trying to watch it tonight, I suggest you do, because what you're going to witness tonight may surprise and even shock you. And I think it's something you should definitely, definitely take into consideration. To start off the show, we got a few birthdays that we have to shout out to, speaking of football. Happy birthday to Ronnie Lott. And if you don't know who Ronnie Lott is, then you've never really been a big-time football fan throughout your life, especially back in the 80s. He turns 55 today. He was a first-round, 8th pick overall back in 1981. Spent most of his career with the 49ers up until 1990. Spent a couple years with the Raiders as well as a couple years with the Jets. And finished his career as an off-season player for the Chiefs, even though they ended up letting him go eventually. Started out as a broadcaster in 1995, actually 1996, on the NFL on Fox broadcast team. Also spent time in the network's game coverage as an analyst, not just in the studio, but also as a co-commentator. He turns 55 today, and what's not to know about him? He's rated the 11th player of all time by NFL.com. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion, four-time NFC champion, eight-time AP first team All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowler, NFL 75th anniversary all-time team, the 1980s all-decade team, as well as the 90s all-decade team. Number 42 retired by the 49ers, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in the year 2000. Finished his career with 63 interceptions, 730 interception return yards, and 5 interception returns for touchdowns. Again, he turns 55 today. He has a lot to be happy about. He won 4 Super Bowls. All 4 of those Super Bowls were with the 49ers back in the 80s. Completely, by far, they were the team of the decade. And he was a major benefactor alongside Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Roger Craig, and the rest of those guys. They did phenomenal things on that 49ers team in that decade. So once again, happy 55th birthday to me, the greatest safety in the history of the National Football League, Ronnie Lott, and many more birthday returns to him. Happy birthday to Bill Cowher, who turns 57 today. He went undrafted, so he never got to share the draft accolades like a lot of players had done, whether they became coaches or not. He debuted in 1980 for the Cleveland Browns. He spent time as a player with the Browns and with the Eagles. Didn't play a lot of years. Actually began his coaching tenure in 1985 and 86 with the Browns on his special team. Spent time with the Browns in 87-88 as the secondary coach. Went on to become the defensive coordinator from 89 to 91 with Kansas City, and began his head coaching career with the Steelers in 1992 up until 2006. He took over for Chuck Knoll, and a lot of people were like, huh? Really? But turned out it was the right move. It was a perfect move. Now, of course, he had a lot of down years and a lot of disappointing seasons, but he did get a Super Bowl with the Steelers in 2006 when they beat the Seahawks. Stuck around to coach one more year, but the Steelers finished a disappointing season with a losing record, and he ended up retiring, went into the CBS broadcasting booth in the studio analyst, and has been there ever since. His name has been leaked to a lot of coaching opportunities over the years, and he has basically responded by saying, I'm not interested in becoming a coach anymore at this time. And so I don't know if he's going to coach again or not, but I would like to see him coach, because I want to see him have his lip poked out on the sidelines again. Although he didn't do it a lot at the end of his coaching career. He didn't do it a whole lot, but back in the 90s, he was best known for that. He's a 2-time AFC Championship winner as a head coach. Went to Super Bowl twice with the Steelers. Lost the first one, Super Bowl 30, to the Cowboys back in 1996. AP NFL Coach of the Year in 1992, the first year he took over on the Steelers. 2-time Sporting News NFL Coach of the Year. 2011 Pittsburgh Pro Football Hall of Fame. finished his career with 149 wins, 90 losses, and one tie, 12-9 all-time in the postseason. That's actually a 62% percentage. Not too many coaches can say that. So, nonetheless, happy birthday to him. I would like to see him coach one more time, at least one more time. At least one more time. Well, speaking of coaches, a coach who actually is back coaching after spending some time away from the game, happy birthday to Lovie Smith, who was the new coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was just appointed there this offseason. He turns 56 today. He played at the University of Tulsa, best known for his head coaching tenure as a member of the Chicago Bears. He took over the team in 2004 up until 2012. He also had stints in the NFL with Tampa Bay from 96 to 2000 as their linebackers coach, and with the Rams from 2001 to 2003 as their defensive coordinator. He's now the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's going to have a top pick tonight. I'm talking a top 10 pick in tonight's draft. That being said, they seriously better make a good pick. And I'm talking a top-notch pick, a guy that is going to keep Lovie Smith as a coach for a long time there. Just somebody that's going to give that team a spark. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that's going to really come in and contribute. Now, Johnny Manziel has been linked to a possible coaching opportunity. And I'm kind of anxious to see how this is going to work out. Now, the Buccaneers are going to have the 7th pick overall. That's not to say that Johnny Manziel will or will not be there, but I think it's something that you definitely want to consider. You know, who knows if Mike Glennon is the future. Of course, they brought in Josh McCown, who played under Chicago as a quarterback when Lovie Smith was there a couple years ago. I don't know. I really don't know what to make of it. But I will say, nonetheless, happy birthday to him, and good luck to Tampa Bay tonight. Whether they trade up or try to trade up, that remains to be seen. But they're going to have some enticing options, whether they trade up or not. They're definitely going to have some enticing options. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they, as well as everyone else, is going to do tonight. So it's a special occasion. The NFL draft is historic. It's historic. Would you believe it's been, I guess you could say, nearly 8 years since the draft, you know, first started. And people need to understand that the first draft took place in 1936. So it's been nearly 78. It's been 78 years, nearly 80. People just don't know. People just don't know how big of a deal that is. It's tradition. It's something that we all look forward to. It's one of the top sporting events in the world every year. And I look at it like, I think it's an opportunity for these players to be on a grand stage as far as like the NFL, when you're entering the NFL as a rookie and your name is called, regardless of whatever team takes you. It's an opportunity for those players to really showcase themselves up. So, that being said, I'm hoping that a lot of these guys' names get caught, at least in the first round. Now, the way that this is going to work tonight is, tonight you're going to see the first round, which takes place at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night, you're going to see rounds 2 through 3, also at the same time at 8 o'clock p.m. Saturday at 12 noon, you will see rounds 4 through 7. That means you're going to see the first pick in the fourth round all the way up until the final pick, 256, the 256th pick, which is a.k.a. Mr. Irrelevant, whoever that guy is going to be. And it should be interesting. And I'm interested to see who's going to fall, because it's going to be a big name that's going to fall in this draft as far as like the late first round and maybe even a second or a third round pick. How is that guy going to respond? What type of adversity is he going to overcome? You have to take that into consideration. You also have to think about the fact that it's almost tradition. We've seen this happen with quarterbacks before. Aaron Rodgers was a late first-round pick. Brady Quinn was a late first-round pick. Dan Marino was a late first-round pick. Geno Smith, who was supposed to be the first quarterback taken, according to most draft experts, he didn't go into the second round last year. So you have to take into consideration the fact that it happens. It's barbaric sometimes, but it happens. It's almost tradition. You know, players flip. Players flip. Sometimes a team goes in a different direction because they need other pieces, or maybe they just feel like that guy is better for their team. And if you're a guy like Jadeveon Clowney or Johnny Manziel, you know, don't get your hopes up if you don't end up, you know, because it's a possibility that you might not be a top five pick. I'm just saying. You never know that. None of us knows that. That's why I've been saying for the last few weeks how unpredictable this draft is going to be. I don't know what to tell you what's going to transpire tonight. I can't begin to explain it. But I can tell you right now, every player in that building, that Radio City Music Hall in New York City, is going to be nervous like he's never been nervous before. That includes every bowl game he's ever participated in, every big conference game he's ever participated in, the whole freaking nine. And this happens a lot. This happens an awful lot. However, it's an exciting time, and this is something that you are just looking forward to seeing. You're looking forward to witnessing it. This is something that you as a player, you can't wait. You just can't wait. It's going to be such a grand scale opportunity. And remember, the Texans, you got 45 minutes until you're forced to either take the pick with the number one overall or trade it to somebody. Now, they're listening to offers, and there has been talks about the Patriots trading their backup quarterback, Ryan Mallett, to the Texans, which would end speculations about the Texans possibly taking a quarterback with the first overall pick. That means that's still an opportunity that Jadeveon Clowney could be number one overall, Khalil Mack could be number one overall, or they could just turn the corner completely and draft somebody like a Justin Gilbert or even a Sammy Watkins. Now think about this. Andre Johnson is not getting any younger. Andre Johnson was drafted back in 2003. He's been in the league for over 10 years now. He's coming up on his 11th season. That being said, if you're the Texans, maybe you could consider a possible wide receiver to line up alongside him. Give the guy an opportunity to take some pressure off of Andre Johnson if you're going to draft a guy like, you know, Sammy Watkins or even a Mike Evans. We don't know that. Now, we know what happened when the Texans had the number one overall pick back in 2006. Many people were speculating, obviously, that Reggie Bush, who was the most explosive player coming out of that draft and the best player on the board, was going to be taken. And that didn't happen. Then other people speculated that it was going to be Vince Young or Matt Leinart. Vince Young having ties to the state of Texas. That didn't happen. Neither one of those two guys was taken number one overall. They went on ahead and took a guy named Mario Williams, who played a few years there, you know, and eventually established himself as a Pro Bowl defensive lineman. So we look back on that and we say, okay, well, it looked like the Texans made the right move. But Reggie Bush went on to help the Saints win the Super Bowl. And it's funny because Matt Leinart and Vince Young are both out of the NFL technically. And it makes you wonder, the what ifs. What if the Texans had taken Matt Leinart? Would he still be the quarterback of the franchise over David Carr? You know, so that remains to be seen. Speaking of David Carr, his little brother is going to be drafted tonight. And, you know, David Carr was number one overall selection by the Texans. He was the Texans' first ever draft pick back in 2002. And that didn't turn out so well because he had two seasons where he took a lot of sacks. Just a beatdown, a total beatdown. So that being said, you have to consider what you're going to take. So think about that. And while you're thinking about more, we're going to take our first break of the evening. When we come back, we got some NBA playoffs to talk about a little bit. And we got to send some props out to a few players as well, as well as some NHL playoffs update and some MLB games that are currently in progress and that were in progress earlier today. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're almost approaching 7:30 p.m., and we have one game currently in progress in the NBA playoffs. The Brooklyn Nets are currently up on the Miami Heat 14-12. About 3 minutes left to play in the first quarter in that one. The Brooklyn Nets are looking to rebound after losing to the Miami Heat for the first time this season, after sweeping them in four games during the regular season. And later on tonight, we have Portland and San Antonio. That game will take place at 9:30 p.m. on ESPN2. Also, I wanted to take an opportunity to update the NHL postseason. Right now, we have one game that's getting ready to start between Boston and Montreal. That game is going to start at 7:30 in about 5 minutes. And that's going to be an interesting game. Canadians are trying to go at 3-1 on the Boston Bruins. That will be big for them if they could do so. And we also have the Anaheim Ducks against the LA Kings tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Anaheim is looking to bounce back after being down 0-2 in this series, losing the first two games at home. The Kings are hot. They're the hottest team in hockey right now. They have won they've won six straight, including the Final Four in that first round against San Jose, which I thought was just astounding. And now they've won the first two on the road, and now they're coming home for the next two. They could complete the sweep. They seriously could complete the sweep. So that game takes place at 10 p.m. tonight. So hockey fans, check it out. Enjoy the game, especially out there in the West Coast. Get out there and enjoy that game. I'm pretty sure a lot of you will be. Getting back to the preview of the draft, I'm just looking forward to seeing how these guys are going to conduct themselves. You know, who's going to throw a temper tantrum if they don't get picked high? It just seems like, you know, you never know who's going to do this or do what, or who's going to take this pick, or who's going to go in that direction, or who's going to trade up. We still don't know what the Texans are officially going to do right now. They could end up making a trade at the very last minute, and that'll make this whole situation so bizarre. But at the same time, that's the draft. That's what the draft does for you. That being said, I'm looking forward to seeing not only what the Texans are going to do, but all these other teams. You know, teams like St. Louis, they're going to have the second pick. Jacksonville, what are they going to do? Cleveland, it seems like they're looking for a quarterback every year. They're going to take one. The Raiders, boy, number five, who's going to be the Raider unknown this year? You know, it just, you never know. It's a possibility. It seems like they've been doing unknown picks. Since the 1999 draft, only two players the Raiders selected went on to become Pro Bowlers. That was former cornerback Nadia Asma, and one of their tight end, and their tight end Zach Davis. And I'm just looking forward to seeing. Now, Atlanta, they're coming in at number six. They were a team that a lot of people thought would probably be the team, the one team that could trade up with the Texans and take Clowney with that number one overall pick, because out of all the teams in that top 10, that defensive line, their defensive line could use the most help. Oakland's defense wasn't too shabby last year. Cleveland's defense did some nice things. Jacksonville, they need help all over, but I also think that they could use some offensive help. I also think that the team that's drafting behind Atlanta, number six, Tampa Bay, number seven, they can use some defensive help. Now that they got Lovie Smith as their head coach, you would think, is it possible that they could go defense with this first pick? Or is it possible that they might just go and take a quarterback like a Johnny Manziel, who they are rumored to try and go after if he's going to be there at number seven? You got Minnesota at number eight, Mike Zimmer, their new head coach, a head coach for the first time in his career. Is he going to go defense? Now, keep in mind, the Texans' number one overall, Romeo Crennel, is their defensive coordinator. He would love to have Jadeveon Clowney, possibly, as the first overall pick, as the first pick for the team. Romeo Crennel hasn't always done a great job of getting certain players to shut up weeks before games in the locker rooms and things like that, dealing with high-profile guys like Kellen Winslow II and Braylon Edwards. But I think he's learned enough when he was an assistant under Bill Belichick that, you know what, it has to be done this way if you want the players to respect you. And I think he'll have a great relationship with Jadeveon Clowney if he ends up being taken number one overall. Now you got Buffalo at number nine. Buffalo was a team that was also rumored to trade up, or they were going to possibly try to trade up, because I think that Buffalo could certainly want to go offense in this draft, at least with this first pick. So that being said, where do you go? Do you go with the wide receiver? Now there's talk that they could go after Sammy Watkins. They could go over Mike Evans from Texas A&M. And then you got Detroit at number 10. They were also a team that was possibly rumored to trade up to go after Sammy Watkins, who I think is possibly going to definitely go in the top 10. He's the best receiver on the board right now, and his playmaking skills is just phenomenal coming out of Clemson. You know, let's just put it out there. I think that when it comes to making these picks, you basically have to know what you're getting into. And if I'm Detroit, and, you know, my hometown team, I've been a Lions fan my whole life, if Justin Gilbert is available at number 10, you take him. If he's not available, I'll settle for Khalil Mack. I'll settle for Jarquez Denard out of Michigan State, the number one defense in the nation last year. And he was a major benefactor from that. Him and Curtis Drummond, the two anchors at cornerback, playing right in your backyard. Of course, we know the last time that the Lions took a first-round pick, you know, from Michigan State, that didn't turn out so well, unfortunately. But they certainly need to go defense, at least with this first pick. They can still address the wide receiver position because there's going to be a boatload of receivers available, whether they're high-profile names or not. But you want to go defense with this first pick, you know, with the 10th overall pick. And I think that they're going to have at least a few enticing options, you know, to select. So that completes the top 10, and I'm just kind of anxious to see what's going to happen. Now, keep in mind, St. Louis is going to have two picks in the first round. What are they going to do? Are they going to possibly go offense with both picks, or one pick offense, one pick defense? You know, what are they going to do? So it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out. I'm just looking forward to seeing how all this is going to turn out. Now, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we got some MLB to talk about, and we're going to preview more of the draft. We are less than 30 minutes away. It's going to be big. It's going to be real, real big and real exciting. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is 7:40 p.m. We're just 20 minutes away from the start of the 2014 NFL Draft. And getting into some MLB games real quickly. We had a couple games that went final already today. My Detroit Tigers lost. Their 8-game winning streak ended today. They lost to the Houston Astros by a score of 6-2. Even after being up 2-0 before, the Astros started striking it rich in the fifth inning, scoring 3 runs. The first was a solo shot by George Springer, and then a double from Jose Altuve, which allowed Carlos Corpion and LJ Hoes to score, and they were pretty much in control the rest of the way. Drew Smyly got the loss. He's now 2-2 for the season. Dallas Keuchel got his third win. He's now 3-2. Tough loss today. Smyly pitched 5.1 innings. He only had just two strikeouts and gave up 5 hits, 3 runs, and 3 errors with an ERA of 2.96. These two teams are expected to play each other again tomorrow to wrap up the season. Now, the Tigers are still, they're 20-10. They're 4.5 up on the White Sox in the Central Division. They pretty much got this division in total control right now, and hopefully it stays that way. These two teams will play each other. Oh, actually, no. Their series ended today. The Tigers now have a 3-game homestand starting tomorrow and through the weekend against the Minnesota Twins. The Astros, a team that has looked at times like the worst team in baseball this year, hey, I got a hand to them. They came out and they prevented the sweep. More power to them. Of course, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game today, but, you know, they did some nice things. They really did some nice things. They're 11-24 of the season, though, but, hey, you know, anything can happen when it comes to baseball. Earlier today, we saw the Cleveland Indians, speaking of those Minnesota Twins, they beat the Twins at home 9-4, recording 15 hits. Justin Masterson got a second win of the season. He's now 2-1. Kevin Correa got his fourth loss of the season. He's now 1-4. Both of these two teams are trying to chase the Tigers right now. I don't know if any one of these two teams can catch them at this point, but it's safe to say that it's still a possibility. It's still a possibility that, you know, it's a long season still, and we won't know what's really going to go down until after the All-Star break. For Cleveland, like I said, they got 15 hits. 4 of those was by their Cabrera, Asdrubal Cabrera, their shortstop. He went 4-for-5 with the homer and 3 RBIs. David Murphy went 3-for-4 at the plate today with an RBI. And Michael Brantley went 3-for-5, batting in 2 runs, scoring twice and recording a single home run of his own and 3 RBIs. They were really hitting the ball today. The Cleveland Indians were. These two teams have been battling it quite a bit lately. Both these two teams still have losing records. It's safe to say that the Tigers can't possibly run away with this division already. They're finally hitting their stride, and they're going to lose games occasionally, but that's just the way it is. You know, that's how it is in baseball. Right now we got 2 games that are currently in progress. We got the Toronto Blue Jays up on the Philadelphia Phillies 3-1. The second inning just ended. And the Orioles are losing to the Rays 1-0. That game is in the top of the second inning. Later on tonight, we have the Colorado Rockies against the Texas Rangers. That game takes place at 8:05 p.m. We also got the battle of the two Chi-Town teams. That game will take place at 8:10 p.m. on WGN, local Chicago time. Miami and San Diego, San Francisco and the Dodgers, and Kansas City and Seattle. All 3 of those games will take place at 10 p.m. Who's ready for the NFL draft, y'all? We're 15 minutes away. We're actually going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this show. And I'm just going to tell you who I think is going to go number one. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And we'll find out if I'm right or wrong in the next 15 or 20 minutes. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
My baby, my baby, my baby. but a lady. Girl, you need a long, oh, this your soul, you're so fine. From everything that you wear, your kind of beauty is rare. And I swear you get better looking with every year. I hit your sexual peak, your full figure physique. Young girl can't compete, come cooking something to eat, baby. And since we in the kitchen, girl, let me get that muffin. You look better the older you get. Every chapter, getting more attractive.
Aging a factor. The young one that I got, I'm about to leave her. Baby, sitting on the vine with my sweetheart.
If I could be your man, girl, you won't want for nothing. You look better the older you get. You really need to let me in your world, girl. What a pearl, girl. No cougar, you're still a kitten. Hidden, you working out, girl. Shut your mouth, you looking thicker. You know how to hold your liquor. Show me your ID, I get the picture. I propose and those players raise your glass. For my biblical boxes to my safety dash. Ladies, it's Thanksgiving and I'm about to eat that stuff. You look better the older you get. I can't believe what time
you're getting better. Looking like a picture.
Oh,
of the
yeah. Your story gets more pretty every chapter. More and more attractive. They wouldn't believe me.
Started the 2014 NFL Draft. Rockets here with you, and we pretty much come to the end of our show just about. Just to update a quick score, the NBA playoffs between Brooklyn Nets and the Miami Heat. Brooklyn is up 34-28. They're about halfway through the second quarter. The Nets are trying to bounce back after a dismal game one, which they got off to a very solid start, and they just let the game slip away in the third quarter. And Miami beat them for the first time this year. The Nets are trying to return the favor to tie the series up 1-1, going back to Brooklyn for games 3 and 4 this weekend. This will be big if they can do that. This will be real big. And later on tonight, that game is on ESPN2, by the way, in case you're not into football or you're just not into the draft tonight. You can watch that game right now as we speak. Portland and San Antonio will take place tonight at 9:30 p.m. That game is also going to be on ESPN2. Spurs are up 1-0. They pretty much just throttled Portland the other night in game one. They actually held Damian Lillard without a three-pointer for the first time this postseason. So kudos to the Spurs defense for adjusting and seeing what this kid can do. Also, congratulations real quickly to not only Marcy Buford, the Spurs general manager, NBA executive of the year, or Kevin Durant, obviously the MVP, the first time in his career, but congratulations to Jamal Crawford, who has won his sixth man of the award. Actually, it's the second time he's done it. The first time was with the Atlanta Hawks. He wins his second, and this is no news to him. Really, he did it with the Hawks back in the 2009-2010 season, And he does it again. And he's been quite a valuable piece for the Clippers these last few years he's been with them. And they're going to need him to light it up in Game 3 and 4. Game 3 between the Clippers and Thunder will take place tomorrow night. And then Game 4 will be Sunday afternoon. Tomorrow night, the game between these teams will be on ESPN. And Sunday will be Game 4 on ABC. Also tomorrow night, we got Indiana and Washington. That series is tied 1-1 heading over to D.C. Roy Hibbert. I talked about him needing to have a big game, and he did. 24 points. He actually led the Pacers scoring 1 point, and they're going to need more of that. They're definitely going to need more of that. And for their sake, hopefully he can pick up that intensity because they're going to need every single bit of it, okay? Now, in game two, Roy Hibbert in 33.5 minutes, he scored 28 points. He led everybody in scoring in this game. Everybody. He went 10 of 13 shooting, 8 for 8 on free throws, had 9 total rebounds, an assist, and 2 block shots. Best game he's played all postseason long, by far, okay? By far. That being said, also, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Wizards themselves are going to bounce back. Be an interesting game between these two teams as far as what they're going to do and how both teams are going to just simply adjust, because that's pretty much what it is. It's all about adjusting. So may game three come down and to you know, breaking point, and you know, best of luck to both teams. But getting back into the NFL draft, I honestly feel like it's possible that either Jadeveon Clowney or Khalil Mack will go number one. I think the Texans are probably going to go defense. Despite the head coach, you know, Bill O'Brien, basically, you know, with his credentials. And let's not forget Bill O'Brien's background, being a former assistant of the Patriots, being an offensive coordinator, you know, he's had a little bit of experience coaching linebackers. He was a linebacker coach at the University of Brown back in 1994. He was the head coach at Penn State the last 2 years, and he's got some experience, you know, and he was also a former defensive end and a linebacker himself. So there's a connection there. You know, so it's possible they could take Jadeveon Clowney or Khalil Mack. If I'm the Texans, I'm seriously considering sticking with that number one. And I will seriously take Khalil Mack over Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm going to tell you why. Khalil Mack has what it takes to be a very dominant linebacker in the National Football League. Coming out of the University of Buffalo, he played 4 years. This guy won the Jack Lambert Award winner, for crying out loud. What does that tell you? He was the first-team All-American, first-team All-MAC Conference player in 2011, 2012, and 2013. What does that tell you, okay? And keep in mind, this guy came off a season where he recorded 100 tackles. He also had 10.5 sacks. And he had 3 interceptions. He also recovered 3 fumbles. And he also forced 5 fumbles, okay, in 13 games last season with Buffalo, with the University of Buffalo. The bottom line is, I think that the Texans should take Khalil Mack because I think they need more help in the linebacking corps as opposed to just their basic defensive line. You got J.J. Watt, and that would be great to have Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt anchoring that defensive line. That would be a fearsome matchup if you're a guy like Andrew Luck who has to face him, or Jake Locker, whoever the quarterback's going to be in Tennessee, or whoever the quarterback's going to be in Jacksonville, and any other team, especially in the AFC or in the NFL period, that has to face the Texans. That would be a fearful matchup. The bottom line is, I think the Texans seriously consider taking Khalil Mack. It's seriously taking Khalil Mack. I think they need more help in the linebacking corps. That's just how I feel. Well, we've come to the end of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Good luck to everybody tonight that's getting big. And I'm about to switch over to the NFL Draft and watch it myself. May your teams make the best picks for their organizations. Don't go crazy like Jets fans do, or Eagles fans for that matter. And we'll see y'all next time. In fact, we will have another podcast at the end of the weekend on Sunday, and we'll wrap up what took place in the 2014 draft. Who won, who didn't do so well, and who still needs help. We'll see y'all next time.